beatdown last night at the Garden. 132 points. Tied an NBA record with 29 threes. Set a franchise record. 10 threes in the first quarter. Jason Tatum looks like an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
FU tour is underway.
Sure is.
Jaylen Brown clapping back at Steve Kerr and Nike on top of it. They get their rings. The banner's raised. The new look Knicks, supposed to be the second best team in the East. I feel
according
like they are the second best team in the East.
Yeah.
Not very scary.
Not last
Keith.
Night.
It's tough to nitpick what went down last night. We'll do our best here on Jones and Keith. We'll talk to Robert Horry, seven-time NBA champ, a man who has repeated.
Yes.
And also a man who, at least for, well, three-peated, you're right, at least for a stretch in San Antonio, that team could not defend their championship. We'll get into the complexities of that. His thoughts on this specific Celtics team. Jason Tatum is an MVP candidate. But last night, I have two questions coming out of it, Keith. Is anybody beating this team? And is that the Jason Tatum we're getting all year long? I hope so.
Yeah, the first question, I don't think anybody's beating the team. We did our tier Tuesday yesterday for the season. We put them alone on their own tier, and I think for good reason. They are the defending champs. Everybody else is chasing them. Some teams have chosen to kind of run it back. Many others have changed. New York, Philly, Minnesota, like some of those top teams from a year ago felt like, all right, what we have isn't good enough. And they all had to change it. And the Celtics probably won't be 100% all season, right? So they didn't have Porzingis last night. They're not going to have Porzingis for a while, and it didn't matter. They didn't have him for most of the playoff run last year, and it didn't matter. And when he is out there, he's probably their third best player, and yet
at
they're
best.
Still, right, maybe. And they're just, they're so much better than everybody else. They play well together. They have a number of different ways they can beat you. And then your question about Tatum, you know, he had some great games, obviously, his first team All-NBA last year. But then in the playoffs, the reason why Jaylen Brown was Eastern Conference Finals MVP and Finals MVP was in large part because Tatum's shot was off.
100%.
Right? Like he didn't score at a very efficient rate. And there's been a lot of discussion about him working on his shot in the offseason. And I know it was a short offseason. He plays all the way till June. Then he's on the Olympic team, whether he plays or doesn't. It's not the point. He's over there. And yet he, you know, was working on a shot. And one game in, it looks like it was working. Whatever he was doing was working. He's not going to make eight threes every game. He's not going to go 14 of 18 from the field every game. But if you take what he did the last couple of years, where, again, he was first team All-NBA, and you give him a better three-point percentage and better just field goal percentage, then, yeah, it's scary for the rest of the league.
It is. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. I feel like the Tatum thing, I feel like the people last year ignoring how broken Tatum's shot was in the postseason exposed themselves a little bit last night. Because all you saw on social media, another three, look at his shot, FU tour underway. That's all you saw. And last year, a lot of what we heard in the playoffs was, well, it's not all about scoring. It's not all about shooting the basketball. It's about his floor game. Does he rebound? Does he distribute? Does he play defense? And Tatum did all those things last night.
Right.
Tatum had 10 assists. He led the team. He didn't really rebound last night, but he didn't really have to. There weren't a lot of rebounds to grab.
I was
going to
say, there was a lot of made shots on both sides.
The Knicks shot 55%.
Yeah,
the Knicks outshot the Celtics from the floor last night.
Yep.
So there weren't a lot of rebounds to grab. That doesn't bother me. Their defense wasn't great last night. Tatum is a good defensive player. So I agree, his floor game's important. It's not singularly about the scoring. But people were ignoring how off Tatum's shot was last night. Was that a mental thing? Was it a physical thing? Does he have that sorted out? Scoring's important for him, obviously.
Yeah.
Duh. And shooting well is important for him, obviously. So I want that. I want Tatum doing what he did last night. I hope this is the Jason Tatum we get all year. And I don't mean eight threes every night. And I don't mean, what did he finish with, 37, 35?
37.
I don't need 37 points every night.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. He came out and he hit the first shot last night. He came out and he hit more threes early last night. He was hunting his shot early. He was getting his. And I want the aggressive Jason Tatum because I do think that opens other things up. And they can win both ways. They won in spite of Tatum's broken shot last year. That's how talented they are. That's how deep they are. That's how much better they are than the rest of the league. But if you want to take a step, and I think you might need to take a step to repeat. It's not easy to repeat. You have to get better and stay hungry. That's the Tatum I want to see. And for one game, we saw it. I don't know that we're going to get that every night. But I do know when his shot is struggling and he's having trouble knocking them down, I'm going to point it out, and I feel like I'm right to point it out because last night looked different than what we saw in the playoffs, obviously.
Yeah, I think for him to be the true top end, like the best out of him is a great scorer. Mm-hmm. Like he is, like he has all the traits to score. He can go. He didn't have to go to the hoop last night, but he can. He's a great free throw shooter, and he can't. He's shown being a great 3-point shooter. And then when you put it all together, he is. He's one of the best offensive players in the league. So I don't need him to defer a whole lot. Right. I don't need him like, hey, we got to get Derek White going. Derek White will get his. Derek White, like the way he played on the Olympic team is almost the way Derek White can play on this team because of how talented they are. So you don't need to like set stuff up for Derek White and some of these other guys. I look back at last year in the playoffs and I don't know, maybe there was an injury or who knows what was going on. Maybe it was just the technique or whatever. He shot 28% from three, which is the lowest he's ever shot in any postseason.
Yeah, and if you go series by series, it was bad across the board.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. But that's for the whole 19-game run. Yeah. If you added it all together, 28% from three. So he wasn't super efficient. Now, it didn't stop him. They lost, what, three total playoff games. So it's not like, oh, that really stood in the way. But if, let's say, this year they do have a tougher road, let's say everybody that they play is healthy, and maybe the team, a really good team from the West, rather than just, you know, Luka and Kyrie come out, then you need him to be a little bit better. I think he can be. I think that was something that he felt like he needed to work on. That's one thing I think as a Celtics fan you have to feel good about is Tatum and Brown didn't win the title and give you a, you see, you said we couldn't win it, and then we both got our big contracts, and now we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they still are looking, though, as though they want to add to their game. There are still things, whether it be individual prizes or winning back-to-back, still
want
them.
I want that. Does that matter to you? You can jump in on the phone, 617-779-7937. Does that matter to you? To me, that matters. I want to see Tatum become an MVP candidate, like a true MVP candidate, where he's a finalist and he's in the mix and he's getting votes and he's heavily considered a candidate.
Not, the highest he's ever finished is fourth.
Right, so not just, and I say just, quote-unquote.
Yeah, right.
First team All NBA and, you know, fifth or sixth, like really in the race, really there, neck and neck with Jokic and Giannis and Luka and whomever else is going to be in the mix. I really want him there, SGA. And
it's going to be tough for him.
It is, but I want to see him take that step. I think that's important for him to take that step. And last night is proof he can do it. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but that's how he has to look. That aggressive, not the numbers, but that aggressive, that's how he has to look to take that step. And I do want him to take it.
And I think with no Porzingis for the first several months, that's a 20-point-per-game score that you remove.
Yep.
So it's okay for Tatum to take more shots. Like last year, with the addition of Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, he took fewer shots per game than he did the three previous seasons.
Uh-huh.
Not by a ton, but it was still less shots. I think now, in the meantime, he could probably go back to where he was and maybe make a run for one of those things. I think regular season MVP is obviously important to him. I think finals MVP, not to get 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road, I think that's super important to him when that time comes. And on the one hand, that can sound selfish, but I don't know. I think Curry really wanted it, and Curry went for it and got it, and it didn't stand in the way of his team's winning four different titles. So I think that can be a goal of yours, and you could still play a team game, right? You shoot a high percentage, you also get people involved, and you have a bunch of assists, then they're going to look to you. I mean, Tatum's going to be the guy anyway that they look to. It was like he struggled shooting, and Brown played so well. It was the only reason why Brown won it the last 2 years. They wanted to, like, the way the game, the finals was covered, they wanted to give it to Tatum, but they were like,
the votes were neck and neck, both the Eastern Conference Final and NBA.
It was way
finals.
Closer than it should. Jrue Holiday should have gotten more votes than Tatum, but whatever. And so they wanted to give it to him, but they got it right and they gave it to Jaylen Brown. But
and again, that's a testament to how good this team is, how talented they are. It speaks a little bit to their path through the postseason, because if you didn't deal with a bunch of injured teams and Tatum wasn't playing his best, would that have caught up to you? Maybe. So I do think Tatum needs to take a step to repeat. I think that would aid them greatly in doing that. And last night was the first step. So I don't want to overreact to one game, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
It's banner night. Teams tend to win on banner night. We just saw the Bruins get bombarded by the Florida Panthers on the Panthers banner night. I can't even imagine that's an electric building, right? It's a bunch of 70-year-old snowbirds down in Florida for a team they don't really even care about.
Right.
But you tend to see in the building when the banner's being raised, you get a big response out of the team.
I would love to have seen the banner be raised.
Yeah, well, if TNT would have shown
at home, I didn't go to the game. Apparently, I had to go to the game to see the banner be raised.
I saw it on the way up. I didn't see it actually reach the rafters. No, that's true.
That's all right. Next time.
So I think, you know, they obviously were ready to go last night.
Yeah,
will that be every single game all year? We'll see. But I don't know that another team can knock them off. And I never said the Knicks would. I never said the Knicks were going to beat the Celtics.
No, we're just coming up with the second best team. Like, I
thought that was the second best team in the East. That's the team that I feel like is the second best team in the East. And last night, they weren't close.
So they did not hit the ground running. We've seen teams kind of thrown together. And even the 08 Celtics, you know, they didn't waste time. They were a wagon. They won 66 games in the title year one.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it takes them a little bit because they just traded for Karl Anthony Towns like a week ago. They traded for Bridges like a month ago.
It's an extreme example, but the big three Heat did not hit the ground running.
No, and they lost the first year. Oh, yeah, but they also they stumbled out of the gate,
that's why,
but then they didn't even win the title.
They didn't win the title, that's true. But, like, I want to say they were, like,
10-5 or worse.
I think worse. Yeah, I think they were like 8-8 that year or something like that.
Yeah, it might have been. That's because Chris Bosh was like, wait, you just want me to stand in the corner? They're like, yeah. Just
it's true.
Stand in the corner.
But I think, you know, to your point about the Knicks, it can take time for talented teams to come together. That's probably not what the Knicks are going to look like come playoff time, but last night it wasn't close.
No, my guess is when you play the Knicks again, they're going to look a little bit better, but it's not like, oh man, the Celtics better be careful. Like,
Thibodeau might look worse.
I mean, he's hanging on to it, though. He's doing whatever he can on top, but yeah, I just think the Celtics are maybe we weren't giving them enough credit in a weird way, the gap between them and the other Eastern Conference teams. Let's leave it to East for a second, because Milwaukee couldn't get out of their own way last year, unless you think Doc Rivers is going to fix them, and I don't. Philly, their two best players are already hurt. The Knicks are just still introducing themselves to each other. Like, they don't seem like they're ready. I like the Cavs, but I don't like the Cavs to beat the Celtics.
No.
I just like them over other teams.
You're saying they're the next best team.
I just like Donovan Mitchell a lot, is really what that is. So who else is that? Doesn't seem like any, like, Halliburton and the Pacers. Like, all right. Like, he's a good player, but I don't think anybody is on that level where they're going to beat you four times in a seven-game series?
No.
Because let's say the Celtics, every guy in the Celtics shoots really poorly from three in a game. Maybe you beat them. Like, maybe you beat them that game. And if you don't, like, then you have zero chance.
Right.
But for them, they're going to shoot, the whole team's going to shoot poorly four games in a row. Like, I don't see that happening.
I don't either. The Heat, by the way, started 9-8 that year.
Oh, wow.
And then ripped off 12 straight wins.
Got it.
So I'm not telling you the Knicks are going to do that. I'm just the only point is it can take time for new teams that are thrown together to, you know, look good.
Yeah,
And you know, I believe the Heat that year opened against the Celtics, didn't they? They opened against the Celtics, who were, you know, already had won a championship and been back to an NBA Finals. And that's similar to the Knicks last night. The Celtics didn't lose anybody. They have 13 guys back from the championship team last year. No Porzingis, but whatever. They never needed him in the first place. And so I think the Knicks will look better. I still think that's the second best team in the East.
So,
but
besides,
how are you going to beat that team?
Yeah, I don't know. So, because besides injury,
it's about the Celtics.
It's complacency, which I don't see happening. And again, that's where you get a random weird loss in the regular season. You're like, okay, like that happens.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going 82-0. So
I pledge I'm not going to freak out about a stub toe against the Wizards.
Yep.
A bad stretch I might freak out about.
Bad stretch is different.
But a one-off, we might criticize it in real time, but I'm not going to freak out about
it. And I know you and I disagree on this. I think the Olympic thing is big-time motivation for both Tatum for being there and not playing and Brown not making the team. And I think you'll see it. They only play the Warriors twice, so that's one thing. But I think, like, the primetime games, it's sort of like when national people are talking about it, just to keep that thing going. Be like, you remember when, like, these guys couldn't crack the lineup for Team USA? And so last night, TNT game is not obvious. But they play a million ESPN and TNT and ABC games. And I think just continuing that, like, not only are they going for a title, at some point in the season, we probably will honestly start talking about, like, the wins record, whether they get it or not. I think it'll at least be a discussion at some point. And just sort of where those guys are. I'm sure Brown wants to get back to being All-NBA because he was 2 years ago to get the Supermax. He didn't last year. Tatum, probably MVP votes. I think there's plenty of stuff kind of motivating these guys. Plus, they have so many guys where, like, if Tatum has an off-night shooting, maybe that's the night where Holiday and White score more. Or you get that random Sam Hauser 10 three-pointer game. Where, like, like, they have so many different ways that they can beat you.
So, no, I think at various points we may have that conversation. I'll tell you, the Celtics have this going for them, too. They don't have another team out there that you look at and go, Oklahoma City is probably the team a lot of people look at. Maybe it's Minnesota. Minnesota lost to LeBron and Bronny last night, for God's sakes. And again, it's one game, I don't want to overreact, but people were anointing Anthony Edwards last year. There's not another team that you look at and go, that's a future championship team, or that's a team that in a year or two could even rival the Celtics. Like, I think people want to do that with OKC. I'm not even ready to go there with that team. There's no other team on their level, and there's no other team that even looks close. Last year, you would have thought Denver.
Well, is it certain players, maybe?
Because,
like, I'm thinking, like, so Denver, like, Jokic is regarded as the best player in the league. What about, like, Edwards with Minnesota? And you're like, Edwards has sort of passed both those guys by, at least in, like, the Team USA mind.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting more minutes than those guys were. I don't know. And, like, do they even have, like, a rival? Is that what you're trying to get at, too, maybe? Like,
I just think they don't have another team that's on their level, and there's definitely not a rival. Right. Last year, entering the playoffs, you would have said Denver was on their level.
I thought Denver was on their level. Going into the year, I thought Milwaukee was on their level, and they just, like, disappeared on you.
No, there's not another team on their level. I think the closest one is OKC, and please.
Yeah, and that's also, when it's a Western Conference team, you play them twice. And, like, you know, who knows who's even available those nights? It seems like you never really get the great matchup that you want.
So it's a roundabout way of saying no one's going to beat them if they're playing at their best. So what would prevent the Celtics from playing at their best? Injuries are the obvious one that can happen to any team. And I think the Celtics have more margin for error with injuries than other teams do because they're so deep.
Yeah.
The other thing is what you said, complacency, or if Tatum is trying to take over too much and that hurts the team, I could see that. I want that, Jason. I want the Tatum we saw last night. Aggressive, yeah. Right from the jump, hunting for a shot on the opening possession. I want that Tatum. But I would understand if people say, well, that's not what they were last year and they won. Stick with what works. I just think you're going to need more to repeat because the challenge is that much greater.
Yeah, no, it is. And I also think, like, this will be the team that breaks that streak of winning back-to-back. Like, that was almost the norm. Like, really good NBA teams. And maybe it was because there was less crazy trades, or like now it seems like star players are bouncing around the league all over the place. Maybe that's what it is. But whether it was the Lakers, then the Pistons and the Bulls and the Rockets, like all these teams, and then the Lakers again, the Heat, like Warriors, like winning multiple titles was the norm. And at the very least, like 2 and 3 years, like the Spurs, right? Mm-hmm. Like they never won back to back, but they were all around it for so long. It really feels like this team is set up better than the other teams recently to do it again.
So, yeah, I mean, you look at the all-time greats. We did this the other week, but, like,
you have to win a bunch.
We have to win more than one, like, and most of them do win back-to-back, right? I mean, Bird didn't. Duncan didn't. But, like,
Bird didn't, but it was still, what was it, 3 and 6 years?
Yeah, like, and he went to 3 straight NBA finals. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, but most of the greats did. So that's what you got to do if you want to take that step. Bob is in Brookline. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys, hope you're having a great day.
Yes.
Jones, I got to just hope you take a revisit at this theory that they take too many threes. They won last year.
Taking 61, Bob, taking 61 threes, they won 64% of their shots? They won doing that?
If they shoot like that, shoot 70. I don't care.
Okay. I mean, well, of course. If you're shooting 60% from three, Bob, of course, but they're not going to is the point.
Well, then they, during the game, but while they're making, a great shooter knows he's feeling it, so he shoots it.
Okay,
so.
But the question is, and we've seen the Celtics shoot their way out of games.
I think they shot 42 a game last year.
Yeah.
But so
this is the point.
Research is right.
So should they shoot more threes than last year is the point? Like, through one night, you would say, yeah. I'm not saying don't shoot threes.
I kind of think so. Like, I reserve the right to yell at them if, like, everybody's cold and they don't take it to the basket ever. Like, there's still enough, like, old school basketball fan
in me. But you acknowledge somewhere there's a line, right? Like, so what's the line? Like, they shot 42 a game last year. They shot 61 last night.
Yeah.
Is the line 50? Like, I'm not saying you can't do it on a given night. Everything was falling last night.
So that's
the numbers,
the
numbers were skewed because they were hunting the record at the end of the game.
Yeah,
but, like,
it's a little bush.
Somewhere you'd acknowledge there's a line.
I mean, Pritchard went 1 of 9, so he kind of sank even, like, everything. Like, the total went up and the percentage went down because of Peyton Pritchard last night. Now, there's going to be nights where he's making shots. No, it's like Mazzulla probably has a number in his mind set. Whereas to me, and I guess this is not the analytical way of looking at it, it'd be more like game flow, like, are you getting open threes and are you making them? Then great, keep doing it. But if you're settling for contested threes or you're just bricking everything, then stop. Like, that's how I view it. Whereas I think Mazzulla would be like, this is what we do. Every quarter we should shoot 12 threes or whatever it is. And, like, that's how we should play. And, like, I don't view it the same way.
Yeah. And do you like, I mean, when they're making 29 out of 61, I get liking that. But, I mean, is that what you like watching? Where 64%, almost two out of every three shots are three-pointers. Do you like that stylistically? You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. It's what you're going to get. It's the NBA, and it's specifically the Celtics. But do you like that? You can jump in on that. We'll get more into their three-point barrage last night, their shot selection, and is it sustainable? We'll do that right after Trending with Bill.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That was Joe Mazzulla last night, discussing the banner raising at the Garden last night.
Doesn't like the ring. It's too big. Never going to wear it.
Yeah,
it's cool to
have. Where are you going to take that thing?
I don't know. Probably like a safe. Did they say how much they're worth? I think they said.
I didn't see.
It depends on where you're shopping.
Yeah.
They're insane. They are insane, though.
They are pretty crazy. I asked this earlier. I'm curious who's going to pay for those. Something tells me it's not Wick.
No, maybe the next guy.
Is that tacked on to the team sale?
Uh-huh.
Like you write that in. There's like an addendum on the sale of the team. It's like, oh, by the way, these rings were on layaway.
Uh-huh.
And Mark Bezos, Rob Hale, Jeff Bezos, Larry Ellison, whomever, you're on
you guys
for
are
that
on
too.
For that.
Yeah, you guys got that,
and
right?
We might need to order another set next year.
We went a little out of control for this one.
Yeah.
Got away from us a little bit. Wouldn't be the first time you're on the hook for that. Because you know it's not Wick.
No.
You know it's not him.
No.
So, Mazzulla there, and it's part and parcel to what we're talking about with their approach, the three-point shooting. He has a view on it. Or does he? I mean, he's adopted the organization's view. Like, I really do believe that's more of an analytical Brad Stevens organizational view than just Mazzulla's, but he's kind of the face of it.
And Mazzulla's probably on board with it. He was here with Brad, then he was here with Udoka, and now he's here. So like, I think he's been one of the constants.
But don't you think his view on it has been kind of molded?
Yeah,
more so than like,
but it might also be why he got the job. And you know, like both can be true, right? Like he might have been sort of molded by it, but then I think he fully embraces it. Like he's the one that has all these numbers like right off the top of his head, like the percentages and like I think he's a numbers guy.
Yeah, probably true.
Yeah,
and I think again, right? Maybe it's a chicken and an egg thing, but my guess is the organization viewed him as someone molded from within who was going to play the way they wanted to and agreed with their principles and adhered to what they believe in. And so he got the job, and that's great. I think he's the right guy for the job, obviously. He did something that Udoka couldn't do, Brad Stevens couldn't do, with largely the same group. It was a more talented team last year, but largely the same particulars, and he got it done. They couldn't, so I think he deserves credit for that. Now, I know Wiggy's been big on this. Wiggy thinks he deserves his credit as the best coach in the league.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet.
Me neither.
But I like him a lot more than I did last year at this time.
To me, that debate, though, starts after Spoelstra and Mazzulla's in it.
Yeah, I agree. I still like Ime Udoka. I think, you know, it's hard to really grade some of these guys when they have so much talent. However, when you win the whole thing, like, you deserve credit for that.
I am the worst coach ever.
Like, Phil Jackson ended up getting a lot of credit, even though he had the greatest players of all time, because other coaches coached those guys and didn't win. Right? Was it Doug Collins coached the Bulls, didn't win? It's like Del Harris or like Rudy Tomjanovich, all these other guys coached the Lakers in and around that time, didn't win. So Mazzulla should get a lot of credit for that. You know, like you said, Stevens and Udoka didn't win. This was the best team, but he broke through and he was able to get it done. But yeah, because there are other guys like Rick Carlisle, who was really good for a while, but then kind of like sank for a while and then got the team back to the finals last year, and then Joe beat him in five games.
Yeah. No. I mean, Eastern Conference final.
So
Carlisle, to me, the arrow's pointing back up.
He's back up. He's on the come up.
But like, yeah, who if it's not Spoelstra, and Wiggy said Spoelstra's overrated, he's probably right. Spoelstra's probably overrated.
Yeah.
He can be overrated and still be the best coach.
I feel like Malone. I'm just thinking, guys, like, do you give guys credit
Malone,
that have a ring?
If Mike Malone were the coach of the Celtics, do the Celtics still win? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the other thing.
That's the way to ask it with this roster. Like, if Udoka were here, could he win? He didn't.
Where do you rank NBA coaches as far as, like, the most important? Like, who has the most impact on their team of the four major sports? Football, number one.
Yeah.
Basketball or hockey? Baseball's last.
It's a good question between hockey and basketball. I feel like I would probably put hockey above the NBA.
Yeah, so, I mean,
NBA is a more talented-driven sport.
Yeah, it is all about the players.
I mean, NBA's neck and neck with baseball, I think.
Oh, you think it's that low?
Yeah.
See, I think baseball's like, it doesn't even
do anything?
No. In a lot of places, I don't think they do. Now, I guess there's something about just, you know, managing the grind of a season. But as far as, like, the lineup, I don't think most of them even put the lineup out. The pitching changes, they're told when to make them now.
To me, that's the biggest argument against Mazzulla is...
How good his team is?
Well, just... If you put in these other coaches, if you put Popovich here, would Popovich win with this team? If you put Carlisle here, would he win with this team?
If you put Doc Rivers in.
They would not win.
Correct.
They might not win around if it were Doc. But I think that's how you argue the Mazzulla thing. But anyway, so they shoot a ton of threes. And we were just talking about this with Bob in Cambridge earlier this hour. And I just think 61 threes. That's way too high of a number. That's not going to be every single night.
But you're making so many of them early, I could see why that game is just going to skew up.
And they were
like, you're running away with it.
And they were gunning for the record late, which also skewed it. So I get that. That probably isn't their target number. But, like, should they shoot more threes than they did a year ago? And if so, how many more threes should they shoot than a year ago? Because it looks like they're going to shoot more. And is that a sustainable approach? That's what we're talking about. Not just when you're shooting 60% or almost 50% where they finished the game last night, but it was around 60 for most of the game. When they're falling, I get it.
So, But
is that the design? Is that the plan all year? It feels like the answer is yes.
Yes, I think it is, and I think I'm okay with it. And you can argue whether or not that's the brand of basketball you like watching or not. I feel like the ship has sailed on that. That's the way the NBA is going. But I think it's interesting. Mazzulla's first year, they were, what did I say, ninth in threes attempted per game in the regular season. And then last year, they were up to second. So they started taking more threes as a team. And if they finished first this year, I don't think anybody would be surprised. You know, like they are a team that launches the three ball.
Yeah, so to me, not everybody wins that way, though. We were just looking up Denver in the last break. You know, Denver was middle of the pack the year they won. They were bottom of the league last year.
Oh, I misspoke. I was looking at the wrong years. I was looking at Udoka's last year. They were like ninth. Mazzulla's first year, they were second, and then last year they were first.
Okay.
42.5.
Okay, so they're taking a bunch, and they're probably going to up that number. But that is not every team in the league wins that way, as we just said. Like, when the Lakers won in the bubble, I know you don't count the bubble championship.
I do not.
They're not a three-point shooting team. The Nuggets shot a good percentage, but volume-wise, they weren't that kind of team the year they won, and they weren't again last year. So not everybody plays that way. That's how the Celtics played last year. Do they need to up it, or do they have the right balance last year? I think that's part of the discussion here. And do you like that three-point barrage? Number two, did you like them going for the record at the end of the game last night, or did you think it was kind of lame?
It's kind of whatever, but it is garbage time regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had dominated the game pretty much wire to wire. They were up really big. It was Peyton Pritchard for the most part, just like launching shots. So somebody's got to play, and there's a shot clock. Like, you have to put the ball up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but I also don't hate it. I give you, like, the benefit of the doubt when it happens in a win. If you're chasing any kind of weird individual or team record in a loss, it really looks bad and stupid and pointless. But in a win, like, go ahead.
I think at the end they looked bad last night. Like, you know, they were still going for the record in the final minute. Reggie Miller had the audacity to call it classy.
They held
the final possession, they held the ball. He called that classy.
It was classy. Reggie Miller likes a three ball.
Oh, he does. Yeah. They had gunned for the record for 10 straight minutes, and he called that classy.
It was.
And so I thought I was okay with it, like, middle of the quarter. Like, go ahead, go for it. The building's into it. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they'd get it there.
Mm-hmm.
When you miss 12 or 13 straight or whatever the number was, and there's a minute left and you're up by 30, it becomes a little pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that skewed the numbers last night, but the numbers are the numbers. Here's what they shot.
Yep.
61 threes.
That's
field goal,
threes.
Field goal attempts, they made 29, which tied an NBA record, set a franchise record. They were one away from setting an NBA record. But they shot 61 three-point attempts of their 95 field goal attempts. That's 64%. If you dig in on the box score, there was only one player on the Celtics whose field goal attempts At least 50% of their field goal attempts were not threes. That was Cornette. Everybody else, at least half their field goal attempts. Tatum, 11 out of 18. Jaylen Brown, 9 out of 18, 50%. White, 10 out of 13. Holiday, 6 out of 9. Horford, 5 out of 7. That's just the starting lineup. Everybody on the team was like that. And so is that skewing too far? Is that what they want to do this year, or was last night a one-off? We're going to get our answers, but yeah. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I just think, you know, based on Mazzulla, they've taken more threes in his first two seasons. I would see that number going up once again. 60 is obviously sort of a high number. I don't think it's going to be that night in and night out. But their eight best players, counting Porzingis, who I know is out for a while, are all kind of three-point
shooters.
They're
all shooters. It's
like,
true.
I don't know if
That's
Holiday's
true.
A shooter necessarily, but he'll knock down open ones.
Yep.
So everybody else, like Horford's game is now that. I think Tatum's kind of starts there and then goes in. Brown isn't like your typical like three-point shooter, but it's a big part of his game. Like I think everybody out there, Derek White certainly can snipe from outside. That's all Hauser does. That's pretty much all Pritchard does. So like two of your guys off the bench, that's all they're going to take is threes. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if 45, 50 threes ends up being what the number is and winning that way.
Okay. How do you feel about that, Celtics fans? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. It certainly worked last night. We'll also talk to a seven-time NBA champ, Robert Ory.
And a three-point shooter.
Lot of big three-point shots in this man's career. Robert Ory, a seven-time NBA champ. He'll join us from Bet Online next. Going to be hard to beat him if they play like that, especially if Tatum's taking a step towards an MVP. I did nitpick their shot selection. I have one more nitpick for you last night, or at least something to keep an eye on, Keith.
It's going to be tough to nitpick the Celtics this year.
No, it is.
It is.
It is. And like,
but what do you have?
Look, we all think they're going to defend their championship,
yeah.
And we all think they're the best team in the league. But like, we're trying to figure out what would prevent them from doing that. If we all agree that they're the best team in the league, what would prevent them from getting there? I think shot selection could get in the way. Not predicting that it will,
but
it could.
You're looking for something. What else?
Their defense last night was not good. 55% is what the Knicks shot. And I'm telling you, as someone who bet the under,
yeah, the Knicks were, over the first quarter.
The Knicks were betting a lot of shots, making a lot of shots, rather, and they were getting them relatively easily, I would say.
I just wonder if it was something like they were shooting so well, they're just running away with it.
The Celtics just knew they didn't have to dig in.
Like the Knicks were knocking down shots, but they were still up 20.
That probably is it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason we talk shot selection first and then the defense, because I'm more concerned about the first thing than the second.
I got it.
But that's another one that I would watch this year. But that's the untrained eye, Keith.
That's right.
That's you and me.
That's right.
Do we really know what we're talking about?
No.
We don't. So let's get on somebody who does. A seven-time NBA champion, Robert Ory, is here courtesy of Bet Online. You can check out Bet Online for updated NBA title, conference, division, and awards odds, plus updated win totals and player stats. They're going to want to up that Celtics win total.
Yo,
I think it was 58.5 entering yesterday. Robert Ory, thanks for joining us here on WEEI.
Oh, man, guys, thanks for having me on. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing spectacular after the Celtics last night. Simple question. Is anybody beating this team?
You mean after that blowout? That's just kind of what it was.
Exactly. No, it was a blowout. So is anybody beating this team? Because it doesn't look that way.
Well, you know, it's early. But, you know, I think this is the best team in basketball. I think they don't have, you know, when you look at teams, you look at flaws. If they have any flaws, I don't see this team having any flaws other than size. And as soon as Porzingis gets back, they will have size. But this team is incredible, and it's so weird because, you know, everybody is going to play with a chip on their shoulder, you know, and they looking, you know, I've never seen a team come into a season where they're freaking mad, you know, because they won a championship. You'd become excited. They're mad because of what transpired this summer with the Olympics and stuff.
What was the biggest challenge for you when you were on teams that won back-to-back? You did it earlier in your career with Houston. You did it again with the Lakers. But going into that next season after winning, what was the biggest challenge?
You know, it came down to injuries. Injuries, and because it's hard because you go so long into the summer that you don't have the proper time to let your body rest, and then you're right back at it. So I think injuries was number one. And the second one was complacency. You know, some guys get, you know, you call it being high on the hill, you get complacent. You think, oh, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. But the hardest thing to do is to defend your title. And you look at so many teams, you look at what Dallas did. They won and didn't win. Denver, you know, everybody thought Denver was going to take it over. They only won one. They thought Milwaukee was only going to win one. I know the Celtics franchise as a whole has the most, but, you know, that's in the past. You talk about this team right here. Are they going to go back-to-back? And it's hard to do that. You got to have the right mindset. You got to be, you know, really lucky.
So a lot of us say complacency. I think it's an interesting word that you bring up, but I don't think we necessarily everybody can wrap their heads around exactly what that means. So in your experience as a player, and you, as Rich just pointed out, you won back-to-back in Houston, you won three in a row with the Lakers. With the Spurs, they were unable to repeat while you were there and even before you were there. What specifically did you, when you say complacency, like what specifically did you experience during your playing time?
Well, you think about when you come in, you take the summer off, you out partying, you out enjoying that moment. You love the fact that people are calling you a champion, and you don't get back into the lab. You don't get back there and work on the grind. And then you come out and you disrespect teams in the sense like, oh, this is a young team like, let's say, a Utah. We're not going to come in and respect them. Or this is the Washington Wizards, you know, the two of the teams in basketball that nobody's talking about. And next thing you know, you're down 20. You got to fight really hard to get back in that game, and you still lose. And you don't respect teams. That's the complacency I'm talking about. You come in there thinking that you're better than everybody and not understand that this anything can happen on any given night. You jump on a team, you get them down, you put that doubt in their mind, and you beat them up, and then they start making those subs, and that's what you got to do. But once you get in these games where you start to, oh, we got a team beat, and the next thing you know, they're back in this ballgame, and they make you work harder than you need to, that's the part, that's the complacency I'm talking about.
What is your thought on Coach Joe Mazzulla? Locally, we've kind of learned to love him, and you know, he wins the title last year. He does say a lot of really strange things, and I'm just curious from the national outside perspective, what do you think of Coach Joe Mazzulla?
You know, he's a little different. You know, the fact that you know, you think about it though, Phil Jackson was different. You know, you think about him burning the stage in the locker room, making you meditate. You know, sometimes you need to go outside the box to get these guys' attention. You know, you got to break up the monotony. You know, you think about it. You play basketball, you dribble, you shoot, you pass. You got to do something to excite these guys and bring attention to other things. I think with Mazzulla, he keeps the team on their toes, and you need that throughout an 82-game season.
Talking to Robert Horry, a 7-time NBA champ. He's from Bet Online. He's joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. From your playing days to now, and this is, you know, you don't have to get on your pedestal, my era versus this era and everything else, but like, do you like the direction of the NBA? The Celtics shot 61 threes last night. They attempted 61 threes. That was 64% of their shots. Pretty much everybody on the team shot more from three than they did from inside the arc. Do you like the general direction of the league?
I like if you're making them, but I tell people, I don't care if you shoot a three, shoot a four if they had one. It's about getting buckets. You get buckets any way you can, and it doesn't really matter. The only thing I don't like about the league is they give the offensive players so much leeway. You know, so many guys travel now, so many guys carry the basketball, and you take, you know, basketball is a game that people love because you're able to play offense and defense in one possession. You know, you don't have to have a line change like football, and that makes it great. But they're totally taking defense out of the game. It's about who can score, and that's the only thing I hate about the game. And I know Adam has talked about, you know, trying to give the defense, you know, more of a leeway than they used to. But it's so hard when you allow a guy to travel. It's so hard when you allow a guy to carry. You know, every step back now is a travel. And people think, no, it's not. It's one, two, three. That's three steps is a travel, right? So it gives the offense such an advantage.
There was ring night, obviously, last night for the Celtics. They got their rings. They're insane. They're like the size of a baseball.
Oh, they're
now.
Nice.
You got seven of them, and I'm curious. You won your first two in the 90s, so I can only imagine sort of the evolution, like with all your rings laid next to each other. I'm sure some look like, it's very different than maybe some of the others.
Oh, man, my first ring was nice, and my second ring, you would thought it was going to be really nice, and when we opened the box, we like, what is this crap? So it's so terrible. You know, you think about it. We in Houston, we was the first Houston team to ever win a championship for that city, as big as it is and the many franchises they have. And then we went to back-to-back, and then Payless, he skimped on our rings. I was so mad. But let me tell you something. That third ring with the Lakers that has the purple diamonds, the canary diamonds, is something special. And then when you get to the Spurs, these things are gigantic with the Spurs symbol. And it's like the evolution is crazy. They get bigger and bigger and better and better. But it's like great, terrible, great, 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 great. But every time I see Payless, I'm talking about Les Alexander, I've been looking at him like, man, you owe us a ring, dude.
So you're known to speak your mind. I was reminded of this, Robert, in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEE. I reminded me of this. You once threw a towel in Danny Ainge's face. What did you not love about Danny Ainge? He wasn't your favorite.
Oh, so you know, it's funny. It happened in Boston, and I remember one reporter who is a dog wagging the tail.
Oh no!
Oh no! This is
no. It cut out,
Robert Horry.
Oh, middle of the Ainge story. Ainge is playing with the phones.
Ainge is playing with the phones.
We can't hear you. If you can hear us, Robert, we cannot hear you. Mid Ainge story.
Oh,
that is frustrating. Nick, you want to try?
I found something he did on social media where somebody asked him, did he regret throwing a towel at Danny Ainge?
I remember watching that game live when happened too.
He said on Twitter, Keith, this a couple years ago.
Yeah.
No, I wish there was a brick in it.
That's
wow.
Incredible.
That is tremendous.
Oh, man.
That's unfortunate. I did want that answer because I don't
know. How about the nickname for the Rockets owner? Payless? Oh, that's great.
That is great. No, it's like, you know, who's paying for the Celtics ring? I want to know that.
Not Payless.
Not, what was it? Less
Alexander.
Less Alexander.
Yeah.
Was. So interesting.
All right, try him one more time. See if you just finish that story if he's there.
Robert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I just heard a boom, and I think the cell tower went out over here. I have no speech, so now I'm on.
We thought Ainge might have taken out your phone. We were nervous for you. So what?
I thought so, too. I thought the Boston fans found my address and was coming at me.
You can't rule it out.
But no,
so what didn't you like about Danny Ainge?
The thing about Danny Ainge, we were with the Houston Rockets. He did that terrible act by hitting Mario in the face with the ball, and he told us when I got to Phoenix that he did it on purpose. And Mario's my boy. You know, we lived by each other. We hung out together. So that just made me mad. And then he had the nerve to say I was the worst defensive player on the team one time when I played with Wesley Person, the late, great Wayman Tisdale, and I played with Danny Manning. You try to tell me them three are better defenders than me? And so now you see where the ball is going. Then he takes over the team. Then my first game back in Houston, he benches me and doesn't play me. I'm like, dude, you asking for an ass whooping. So, and it just got to a point where, you know, he had took over his coach and he just was, you know, I was so mad when Dallas made the trade and I wasn't in that trade. I just didn't like it, man. You know, and to me, there's certain things you do not do. And he crossed the line with a lot of things. I know a lot he's loved and by the people of Boston. And
we don't miss him that much, to be honest, Robert.
Nah,
the guy that replaced him
is doing a better job.
Yeah. but you know, it just was one of those things, man, where, you know, I was like, Popeye, I had enough is enough, and I had to do what I had to do, you know. And I wish you guys would have had a film of the locker room after that. It was like, it was bananas in there where, you know, I thought I was going to have to beat a couple of people up in there because, you know, myself, Mark Bryant, and Chucky Brown were the newcomers to the team. And I was in there. It was funny. The last thing I remember, I said, this is why we beat y'all, because y'all ain't got no heart. And they're like, y'all a bunch of, I said a certain word I won't say on air. And so it was mayhem. And then, you know, it worked out for the best for me and him. You know, they eventually made the playoffs that year, but I went on and win, like, you know what, 5 more championships. So
yeah, who's counting?
In your face, Danny.
Oh, it's awesome. Good stuff.
All right. Yeah. Well, Robert, great story time with Robert Horry. Good takes on the Boston Celtics. You can check out all his work, Bet Online. Follow him on social media. He's a good follow there. Robert, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
No, thank you, guys. You guys have been great. I really enjoyed this one.
All right. Awesome.
You hear that? He really enjoyed this one.
I love anytime you can bring up Wesley Person and Wayman Tisdale and Danny Manning.
That was the best.
You are speaking my language. It is
you
true.
You told me I'm the worst defender. You had the nerve.
Yeah, Wesley Person over here. You're not covering anybody. Oh, that's awesome. Hates Danny Ainge. Sticking by it. Almost got a fight there.
You know what? Great job by the Twitch chat.
Yeah,
I did
good,
not.
Good.
I didn't recall
memory.
That.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that happened in Boston. You said you remember watching that?
Yes, I do. I remember. I was like, holy smokes.
I also thought he was about to say, I got in the locker room and it was going to be like people high-fiving me and like people.
No, it's kind of split,
no,
I guess.
Ready to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, Danny Ainge, that was what, the 96-97 Suns. They lost in the first round year.
Danny Ainge threw a basketball at Mario Elie?
I guess. Or he like elbow? Yeah. Oh, must have been. Was that when the Suns Rockets, those series?
What a turd.
Random 90s players.
Honestly,
I love it. I'm all here for that.
Random NBA basketball player?
I could do that.
Mix that into
Wesley Person would have been one of them. That's a good one.
Wow. Well, I got to be honest. I don't really know what I was going to tell you.
He's great.
Next time we're off with Robert Horry.
More Robert Horry, the merrier.
More Robert Horry. He's calling the Rockets owner Payless.
Payless.
And he's taken, given us story time.
Uh-huh.
You know, to steal a phrase from Tommy and Lynn, taking a dump all over Danny Ainge. Pretty good stuff.
He sold the Rockets in, looks like, 17. He owned them from 93 to 2017, this guy, Leslie Alexander.
Payless. We need a nickname for Wick. 617-779-7937. We'll continue here with all your feedback coming up. Lottie waiting patiently on the Celtics. Let's get back to Jerod Mayo as well. He's not assured of a second year. He could talk his way out of a job. And he did some talking earlier today, and I don't know if he helped. We'll get to all of that next.